Demonstrators in Genoa, Italy this week chanting Free Genoa. The G8 conference there has been the focus of ugly confrontations between protesters and police. One protester has already died. Today, demonstrators are back on the streets. NPR's Dan Shore joins us, and welcome back, Dan.
Good morning, Neil. Long time.
Long time. Now, we've seen a lot of protests at economic summits before, and we tend to define these protesters by what they're against, anti-globalization, anti-capitalist. Are we learning anything about what they're actually for?
Well, clearly different groups want different things, all the way from anti-poverty to anti-pollution. But simply saying that they're anti-globalization, as they're a tendency to do, or anti-progress, may be a little oversimple. These demonstrators are largely organized by internet, so there's got to be something global about that.
Mm-hmm.
Their underlying challenge is globalization, yes, but globalization for what and for whom? And do these international fat cats sitting there in Genoa, all of them except President Bush, now holed up on a cruise ship that's aptly named the European Vision, they're anchored off a port that's become like a medieval walled city. Do they speak for millions of starving, millions of sufferers from AIDS? And the thing is, they are having some impact. The besieged seven leaders spent the day yesterday trying to find something hopeful to say about economic development in the third world, agreed to a down payment of something over $1 billion on the $10 billion that Kofi Annan of the United Nations wants in order to combat AIDS, and something tells me that maybe this is the last such G7 summit that we'll see for a while.
Well, the G7 becomes the G8 when Russia is added on. Yesterday, the G7 leaders were talking about how to make better aid packages for poor countries and about AIDS relief worldwide, some of the things the demonstrators were talking about. But how much is actually getting done?
Well, there are lots of hopes being expressed. I mean, they are very worried at the moment about a certain recession or the fear that there may be a recession. Things are slowing down. And so at the same time, they're worried about the G7 or G8, as you say today, and is trying to worry or being made to worry about a lot of people they don't ordinarily care a lot about. And I think, you know, I'm not sure that's all for the bad.
Well, the president's trip before he went on to Genoa took him to Great Britain, where he met this week with Prime Minister Tony Blair and
yes.
Pronounced himself plenty ready to conduct a U.S. foreign policy. What came of that meeting?
Well, a lot of politeness, I think. A lot of things like more unites us than divides us, the kind of thing you say when you are divided.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what President Bush did not need at this moment was, just as he was going to see Prime Minister Blair, who was President Clinton's very good friend, to find himself being sniped at from the rear by the Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, who says that Bush is just not able to handle foreign policy. "I'm plenty able to handle policy, foreign policy," says Bush retorts. Of course, you have to say that. You're already in a little bit of trouble. Well, Daschle apologized for the timing of his remark, not for having said it. And, you know, what is that about the politics stopping at the water's edge? But, you know, what is Daschle to think? What is Blair to think when they see President Bush from walking away from one international treaty after another? ABM, global warming, nuclear testing, and the latest I see seems to be walking away from a 1972 treaty on germ warfare.
Well, Daschle seemed to be wiping away some crocodile tears, as he said. Well, he wouldn't want to do what those nasty Republicans had done when President Clinton was overseas.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and he said, see, if I had known that he was just on his way to London, then I might have said it some other time. But heck, what are you going to say? People ask you a question, you got to say what you think, no?
Well, tomorrow, President Bush is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Italy. Their last meeting was famously friendly. I guess he's the first former KGB chief to be accused of having a soul. But now, in the meantime, the Pentagon has successfully tested a component of the National Missile Defense Program. Isn't that likely to put a chill on tomorrow's talks?
I would imagine. I thought there's going to be very much of that looking into his eyes and seeing his soul this time. I think that the Bush administration has stated rather bluntly now that it is getting ready, now that it's successfully tested an anti-missile, getting ready to ditch the anti-missile treaty. Putin's government has made clear that just as soon as the United States starts to build that first radar site in Alaska, that's it. That is, that Russia is then free to put multiple warheads on its missiles in order to be able to overwhelm any kind of defense. I do not know how much soul-searching there'll be tomorrow.
Well, at the same time, there is a lot of strategic maneuvering going on. This past week, Mr. Putin and Chinese President Jiang Zemin signed a good neighborly treaty of friendship and cooperation in the Kremlin. How does that help Mr. Putin?
Well, clearly what Russia is doing is playing the China card. It's trying to make like it's going to join to contain this big superpower of the United States, which is pretty hard to do. The Bush administration assumes, however, that China will be on relatively good behavior, at least for the next 7 years, because one remembers President Carter's boycott in 1980 that ruined the Moscow Olympics, so they don't really want to lose their Olympic Games. There's an impression in the Bush administration that however much Putin makes like joining China against the United States, Russia's long-range determination of its own interest is that its future lies with the West more than the East. That is, in the end, it needs Europe, it needs NATO, and it needs America, and that what's being played with China is basically a game.
More violence in the Middle East this week as well, including an explosion last night which leveled the Hebron office of Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's Fatah faction. One man was killed. Are there any new ideas from the Bush administration, which is now committed to this process, to ratchet down the violence?
Well, it depends what you call new ideas, I guess. The Bush administration is going along now with talk in the G8 session yesterday about somebody getting involved in monitoring the situation on the ground in the Middle East. The American officials speak now, they're not of an international force, not of international, they talk about having third parties, which probably means only the United States there. But this would take the administration just one more step closer to where it hasn't wanted to go, of getting involved in this affair, but apparently they find they just can't stay away and let this thing go down the drain.
An unexpected topic of debate tightened its grip on the Capitol this week: embryonic stem cell research. President Bush has been trying to decide whether to allow government support of this research and seems to be agonizing over this.
Yeah, well, I think, Neil, something is changing in this long-accepted nexus between science and religion and politics. We've had this division for a long time between the so-called pro-life people and so-called pro-choice people, and I think it's being called into question by these new kinds of research about how you may be able to extend life. I think it's interesting that an anti-abortion senator like Gordon Smith of Oregon says pro-life means helping the life, the living as well, which means that for people with loved ones who have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and so on, the old slogans don't work anymore. They don't work anymore for Nancy Reagan. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why President Bush is having just a heck of a time trying to make up his mind where he goes from here.
A passing to note that I know is important to you. Catherine Graham, who served as chairman of the Washington Post Company for two decades, died Tuesday at the age of 84.
Can I just say one very personal word about that? And that is this. Well, when Charles Colson in the Nixon White House told my boss, Bill Paley of CBS, to back off Watergate or Nixon would take his TV stations away and send him down the drain, Paley backed off some. When John Mitchell told Kay Graham to back off Watergate or she'd get her tit caught in the ringer, she was totally unintimidated. And the result of that was that John Mitchell and a lot of his friends went to jail. I wish I had worked for Kay Graham.
Thanks very much, Dan. Great to have you back.
Sure.
NPR's Dan Shore.